I titled this message today, Looking Ahead. You know, I'm always amazed that when I see on the television, they show videos of people text messaging while they're walking. Have you ever seen some of that stuff? I saw one text, you know, texting and walking, went right in a fountain. Did you guys see the one in a fountain? I seen them go off of the edge of the subway. You know, right. I mean, don't you think that's really foolish? Who would do that, right? Who? Who would do it? Lynn, is a bump off my head gone? I mean, I do that too. I ran right into a door. Okay, who's done it? See? Did you know what they have now? This is just a word of caution for some of you who like to text and drive, which I know nobody would do that. But if you're texting and driving, the state police now are riding in 18-wheelers on the turnpike. I just took a class and they're looking down inside the cars, watching you text. I'm serious about what they're doing. They have 18-wheelers, they're riding as a passenger, they're looking down in the car. If you're texting, they radio ahead and you get pulled over. And you're going to say, how did they know? Well, that's how they know. You know, if you're not looking ahead, you're looking where? Looking behind, right? If you're not looking up, you're looking where? Looking down. And I wonder, how far can you go looking back? I mean, you might have a couple steps, but eventually if you're looking back, you're going to wind up in a ditch, right? Yeah. And if you're looking down and not looking up, pretty soon, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And I know that you would say to me, well, you know what, Pastor, I'm not looking back. Aren't you? Well, I'm not looking down. Aren't you? I was talking to a woman on Wednesday. Had a very hard time talking to her. She was very sad. She was very depressed. And she had her head constantly where? Down. And I had a very hard time talking with her. And I finally got down on my knees, real low like this. I went... And the minute I did that, she started laughing at me. How many of you go through life with your head down? Your head down. You know, we're not created to live a good life with our head down. You know why? You know why we're not created to have our head down? Because you can't breathe that way. How many know you can't breathe that way? It's not possible. It's not possible. When you sit with your head down and your shoulders slumped over like this, guess what? You can't breathe that way. Can you? I check it with my physical therapist. That's not a good posture, right? But people go through life, slumped over, heads down. That's a good position not to live, but it's a great position to sing a great song. Nobody knows.
The trouble I've seen.
No, we are created to breathe properly. How? With your head up and your shoulders back. That's how you breathe. And you can't breathe in the new life of today if you go through life with your head down. And so I want to make sure we understand today, we're going to concentrate on looking ahead. We're going to concentrate on looking up and not looking down. We're going to concentrate today of getting out of our past. We want to concentrate on getting into the future. And everybody in this room has a past. How many have a past? You got a past, right? And you know what I just said and had you raise your hands? How many know that was in the past too? And what I just said? That's in the past. It is. About 2 minutes ago when I said raise your hand, guess where that's at? It's in the past. And too many people are concentrating on the past. But you know what? Everybody in this room has a past. How many's got a past? We got a past, but everybody in this room's got a future too. And you get to determine where are you going to spend your time. You feel life is getting you nowhere? Anybody feel like they're stuck? Stuck in a rut? On the hamster wheel? Round and round and round. Anybody feel like they're on that hamster wheel? Round and round and round. You know that song we sing, I-oh, so off to work I go. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said what? For every time under the heaven, there's a season. And you know what that really meant? Well, Jimmy taught a sermon on that, right? A time to be born and a time to die. A time for war, time for peace, right? A time to sow, time to reap. But you know what that means too? It means life just is like a cycle. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. I go to bed, I get up, I go to work, I come home, I eat dinner, I go to bed. It's just constantly in flux. How many are stuck in that rut? Right? It's the same old, same old. But what has to happen is that you understand that it doesn't have to be the same old, same old. Every day is a blessing. His mercies are new every day. How many are glad you got a day today? How many know it's a new day? It's a new day. You know, right now it's 11:45. For some of you, it's still 10:45. I know that. But you know what? I can't give you back the first half of this day. Guess what? It's already gone. It's almost 12 o'clock, right? The first half of this day is, guess what? Gone. And guess what? You're not getting it back. You're not getting it back. But if the Lord is willing and He's generous to you, guess what you get? You get the rest of this day. And I want to help you understand, you know who you are today is who you thought you were yesterday. Let me run that by you again. Who you are today is who you thought you were what? Yesterday. And who you will be tomorrow is who you think you are what? Today. If you think you're a loser, guess what you'll be tomorrow? Loser. If you think you're a failure today, guess what you'll be tomorrow?
Failure.
That's the way it works. That's the way it always works. And I want to make sure that you understand that we do not have to be stuck in this condition. We don't have to be constantly stuck, you know, in a desert experience where, you know, you're just barely getting by and you're looking for water and you're just pulling through the desert and pulling through the desert. We don't have to be stuck like that. Nobody in this room has to be stuck that way. Oh, turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19.
Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, the prophet Isaiah is telling them, reminding them of everything God did. And those stories have been going on and on and on. How many love to tell stories about how things used to be? Don't you? I mean, when you get along with those of us who got grandkids, they love to hear the stories of when you were a kid. Don't they? They love to see the pictures. They love, tell me, Grandpap, how was it like when you were in school? Of course, I embellish that a little bit. Everybody knows the story. I walked to school uphill both ways. Yeah. Knee high in snow and had no boots. How many know the story? You know what? That story must go around because all the grandkids believe it, right? Oh, Pappy. Oh, yeah. I had an inkwell. How many remember the inkwells in the desk, right? Yeah. Well, the children of Israel know the story too. And they love to tell it. They talk about how Moses delivered them from bondage. And how God was merciful unto them and parted the sea. And they walked across on dry land. And then the Pharaoh's army came and the sea came together and wiped them all out. And they love to tell that story. But they're stuck. They're stuck in the story. And they keep going back to that. That's not a bad thing necessarily, to remind them of what God had already done. But they're stuck back there. And the prophet is saying, look, get beyond that. Because the Lord is doing what? A new thing. Behold, I will do a what? New thing. And a new thing is not back there. A new thing is out there. Amen. But but we're stuck. We like to remember of all the things we did before. Oh, how I wish it was like it was. I mean, sometimes say that, right? Oh, I wish. Yes. There's a country western song. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Oh, what I coulda done. Oh, what I woulda done if I shoulda done. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
How many still have consequences of past decisions? Don't we all have them? Right? And the people of Israel are thinking about all those things back then. But he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. He's not saying, don't do it. He's saying what? Don't be stuck there. Behold, I will do a what? A new thing. I will do a new thing. But you are not going to see the new thing if you're stuck looking where? Back. You won't see the new thing if you're walking around, your head's down to the ground. You're going to miss it. You are going to miss it. Now, is God going to do a new thing in your life? Sure. And you know how I know that? Because He gave you a new day. He gave you a new day. But just as Glenn had talked about, you know what? He's going to give it to you. It's your choice what to do with it. You don't get the choice of whether or not you get a new day. That's His choice. But you get to choose what you're going to do with it. What did you do with the one yesterday? Did you do good with it?
Yeah.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 43, 8 to 9.
Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth.
He's not saying bring out the blind people. He's saying bring out the people that can see that are blind. He's not saying bring out the people that are deaf. He says bring out the people that can hear very well, but they're just not what? Listening. I wonder how many of us today are like that. Oh, we can see. We can see, but we are so blind. We can hear, some of you better than me, I understand that. But we can hear, but we're not what? Listening. And he says, bring out all those people. Bring out all those naysayers. Bring out all those people to say, oh, life is so terrible. You don't understand, Pastor Tom. My life is unbelievably bad. God says, bring them out. Bring them out. Let them testify to how bad things are, and let me show you how good things can be. I think I told you last week, forgive me if I have, I do so many of these and I don't remember sometimes, I'm getting older. But I'll tell you the truth. I told you, a lot of people say, why me, right? But they never say, why me, when they're so blessed. They only say, why me, when things are bad. Nobody ever says, why am I so blessed? Why am I so healthy? Why am I so strong? Why am I so financially off? Why am I food in the fridge? Why my car's running so good? You know we don't say that. We all say, why me, when what? Things are bad. And chances are pretty good. I'd be willing to bet this. Chances are pretty good. If I brought every one of you up here right now and gave you that microphone, and I said to you, I want you to list publicly every blessing in your life, and you came up here and you stood there and you said, I am so blessed, and I say, how are you blessed, and you started listing all your blessings, we would be here till tomorrow.
Amen.
We would be here tomorrow. How many know you'd have to spend a long time, right? I'll take up a couple hours myself. But yet, if we came up here and we stood by that mic and we said all the things that were bad, you wouldn't be here an hour. Collectively, right? Even when the bad things happen. You know, I thought about that. I had a lot of time to think about things for about 8 weeks worth of time to think about things, right? You know about that, Clyde, right? I spent 8 weeks thinking. And you know what I thought? I said to myself, wow, I'm gonna be laid up here for 7 weeks. 7 weeks. That's not good for somebody like me. You know, 2 days on my back is long enough. How many know me? Do you know that's the way that is? 7 weeks? No, there's no way. And I thought about that and I said, wow, I'm sick for 7 weeks. I'm 64 years old, 52 weeks in a year times 64. That's a lot of weeks. How many know that's a lot of weeks? And I've only been sick, what? 7 of them? How many want to swap that around? How many know you're better off than you're not better off? How many are more healthy than you are not healthy? You give them thanks for that? He says, bring out what? Bring out the blind. Bring out the ones that just aren't what? Looking. Bring out the ones that keep looking where? That way. Bring out the ones that keep walking through life like this. And I'll show them what I've done. I'll show them where I have given them a new beginning. But they're stuck. They're stuck where? In the past. Turn to Haggai. Chapter 2, verse 9. I think it's right next to Hezekiah, right? Right, Colin? It's under the H's, right? Hezekiah, Haggai. don't write that down, guys. Haggai 2 to 9.
The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty.
Wow. Guys, did you see that? The new one will be better than the old one. But we keep lamenting on the old one. What I've lost. What I gave up. I shouldn't have did that. But yet the Lord God says, I'll give you one better than the one you lost. I'll give you one better than the one you gave up. In my Wednesday night Bible study, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about adoption. Adoption into the family. How many are adopted into the family of God? You're adopted in, right? You became what? A child of God. And I was explaining to my Wednesday night class what adoption meant. And it's good that you know what adoption means. What adoption means does not mean this in the scripture. In the Greek, the word that Paul wrote is not what you think. It's not like you go to an orphanage and you knock on the door and you say, I'll take that little girl, and then you adopt it. That's not what it means. What it means is when you're adopted, you give up everything that's where? Back there. It's no longer yours. You give it up. Every right to everything you give up back there is now gone, and you are going to benefit from what lies ahead. I want you to remember when Jesus said to the rich man, when the rich man said, what must I do? What must I do to become a follower? What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? What must I do? And what did Jesus say to the rich man? Sell everything. Give it to her. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. And he was not willing to what? Give it up. And what we have to understand is that when we become a follower in Christ, when we want the new in our life, and we no longer want the old is gone, the new is here, what do we do with the old, guys? We give it up. So many of us can't do that. We have a hard time with that. I have to give up my old way. I have to give up my new way, my old way of thinking. I got to give up my old way of acting. I got to give up my old friends. I got to give up all that old stuff. I got to give up all that stuff. Not just the monetary things. All that old stuff to gain the what? To gain the new stuff. You can't gain the new stuff when you're stuck where? I want you to recall the founding member of Morton Salt. It was Lot's wife, by the way, in case you couldn't figure out who it was. lost wife, the founding member, Eric, of Morton Salt. Write that down. You can use it. She was instructed to leave, right? Sodom. Leave it. Go quickly. Do not even stop to take anything with you. Today, what that would mean is no pictures. No 8mm movies for those of us old enough to remember those. How many remember 8mm movies? Don't get them. No CDs, no albums, no picture books, no clothes, no knickknacks, no nothing. Just get going. Because the Lord's going to rain destruction on this city. You ain't got time. Just go. And whatever you do, don't look back. Don't even think about looking back. I'm saving you from the old. I'm bringing you into the new. And what you're leaving behind, I'll replenish. Not a problem. And she just couldn't do it. What did she do? Why did she do that? Why did she do that when she was instructed? Why did she do that? You know why? Because her life was where? Back there. Back there. I'm sure that as she was escaping for her life, she's probably thinking, my house is back there. All my stuff is back there. My friends, my family, everything who I am is where? It's back there. And she just couldn't resist. She's probably thinking, but what's happening? What's happening to my... And all she needed was an umbrella. And she could have made the poster child. You write that down. Because she became what?
Salt.
And God says, quit spending time back there. Especially when you gave it up. You gave it up. You said, I want the new. How many wanted the new? You said that. You said, I accept you as my Savior. The old is gone. The new has come. I want to be crucified with Christ so that I may live with Christ. But we keep what? Looking back. And probably nobody in this room probably does. But I can assure you people I counsel tell me they do. I want how it what used to be. I want the good old life. I want the way things were. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1, 18 to 20.
Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Let's reason together. The Lord God said, let's talk about this. Let me tell you, the Lord says, what I've done for you that's new. You know all that stuff you did in your life in the past? All that stuff? Guess what I did with it, says the Lord. I got rid of it. Although your sins are like scarlet, you are white as a pure driven snow. All that stuff that was in your life, when you asked me to forgive you, guess what? I did. And not only did I forgive you, I forgot about it. And if I forgave you when you asked me and you took Jesus as your Savior, not only did I forgive it, but I forgot it. And so what right do you have to keep bringing it up? If I forgave it and I forgot it, what business do you have of keep trying to remind me of what I forgot? And Jesus is saying to every one of us, you are new and the old is gone. Quit bringing up the old. Look forward. All the blessings. Look forward. Don't go back and get the stuff. So many of us, I know this is true. You know, I don't just do this on a Sunday morning. I counsel lots of people. And I know this is true. When they come in to see me, guess what they brought with them? All that stuff. All that stuff. And they put it on my desk with a loud boom. And I go, oh, this is going to take a long time. Oh, I'm going to be here forever. Forever. Because I finally get it pobbled off and I put it in a trash can and they come back next week and guess what? They brought it back. How many of you do the same thing? You cannot have a new relationship with your spouse if you keep bringing up the last. You can't. Because you're spending too much time in the past. You can't have a great relationship with your kids. You keep bringing up the past. How many are glad God don't bring up your past?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm serious, church. I mean, how many of you like to have God remind you every day what you did? Oh, praise God, He doesn't do that to me. Praise God, right? Like my grandkids say to me, Pappy, you can't do the things you used to do. You know what I say? Thank God. How many say, thank God you ain't doing what you used to do? I mean, if you're doing what you used to do, I take more sense of silver vitamins. Let's turn to Proverbs 24:16.
For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes.
We've heard that 1,000 times. It doesn't matter if you fall. It only matters what? Get back up. We've heard that ever since we've been little. Every single time we failed at something, I know somebody's told you, whether it be a teacher or a parent or a trusted church member, whatever, you notice when you fell and you failed, somebody said, come on, do it again. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. It only matters how many times you get up. How many's heard that before? You've heard it. Is it true? Is it true in your life? How many failures we got in this room? How many failures we got in this room? You know what failing means? You're successful. And you know why you're successful? Because you tried.
Amen.
Thomas Edison one day was being interviewed by a reporter when he kept on trying to make the electric light bulb. And the reporter said to Thomas Albert Edison, said to him, how does it feel to have failed 1,000 times? How does that feel? And he was, you know, want to get a slide of water. How does it feel, Mr. Edison, to fail 1,000 times? You know what he said? Well, I didn't fail. Well, what do you mean you didn't fail? He said, I found 1,000 ways it didn't work. That's a whole different way of looking at life. I found a whole bunch of ways it didn't work, which means what? I'm closer to the one that does. How many failed at life 1,000 times? Haven't we all failed 1,000 times? How much closer to getting it right? Does anybody want to go back and start that process all over again?
Leo.
Not me. Who don't want to go back? I'm not going back there. Oh, no. My wounds are already scarred over. Now I'm not going to try that again. Not going to try that again. Let's go to Job 8:5-6.
But if you will seek God earnestly and plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now He will rouse Himself on your behalf and restore you to your prosperous state.
I'll bet you there's a lot of us that think we've lost everything at times. Probably. I lost everything. Everything that I've worked for is gone. I think a lot of us probably feel that way sometimes, you know. You know, whatever I had, much it mustn't be much, but at least I had something, and now it's gone. Well, if you seek the Lord earnestly, you seek the Lord earnestly, He's going to take care of you. Because he always does. Now, it may not be the way you think it should be, but it will always be the way it needs to be. He's faithful with that. He is faithful with that. And I'll bet you a lot of you in this room would be willing to say this. If somebody came to your house and took everything out of it, and you awoke in the morning and everything was gone, I'm still blessed. Amen. Because what's important to me, they can't get. Amen. How many know that's true? What's important to me, they can't get. What's important to me are the things that the God gave me, not what man gave me. What's important to me is what God gave to me, not what man gave to me. And He will restore you. Oh, it may not be exactly as you think, but it'll be according to His will. How many know God's smarter than you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Jeremiah 1, 11 to 12.
The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled.
If you want a new beginning in your life, you got to quit looking down. And you got to what? Look up. He says to Jeremiah, look up, Jeremiah, look up. What do you see? He said, I see the branch of an almond tree. Now let me tell you what that means. What that means is he sees a walking stick. He sees a walking stick. How many have ever seen a walking stick? We had those a couple years ago. But I got a walking stick. We were at the in the park. And I got this walking stick. And God says, Jeremiah, look up, what do you see? And Jeremiah looks up and says, see a branch of an almond tree. And they made walking sticks out of those things. And God's basically saying, well, let's get going. Let's start walking. Let's quit sitting down. Let's quit feeling sorry. Let's quit living in the past. Let's go. You and me, God. You and me, Jeremiah, let's go. We're going to do a new thing. We're going to do a new thing. I wonder how many of us, if God said to you today or tomorrow when you awoke, look up and tell me what you see. And you say, well, geez, I see you, Lord. I see your righteous right hand. I see, Lord, that you're in my life. And he said, come on, let's go. We got work to do here today. I wonder how many would say to the Lord, well, can I have at least a half hour to think about those things? I got so much to do. I got so much to do. Did you guys know that there is never, ever, and I'm pretty sure about this. You guys check me out. I know you're much smarter than me anyhow. Huh? But I'm pretty reasonably sure. Let me talk to my principal back there, Sue. I'm reasonably sure, principal, that there's never going to be another March 13th, 2016. Is that true? Once this day is gone, guess what? Gone. There may be another March 13, 2017, but there will never be another March 13, 2016. Is that true? This is the only one you get. This is the only one you get. And I'm going to tell you how we probably all started this day. We started it last night when we turned the clock ahead. That's how we started it. And this is probably what we said. Oh, great. Great. I can barely get by on the sleep I get. And now I'm losing what? An hour of it. It's hard enough to stay awake when that guy's preaching now. But now I have to do it on an hour's less sleep. Because I was thinking, it's hard enough to come to that church and preach to these guys, but now I have an hour left. You know that's how we started the day. We started it last night when we turned the clock. How many started it that way? You know you did. And some of us said things like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. And you got, and a clock went off, and some of us didn't get up because we didn't turn it back. And some of us, when she didn't turn it back, looked at each other and said, she didn't turn it back. She didn't turn it back. She'd be like... And that's the way that we do it. We condition ourselves with our thoughts we had the day before. Do you see? Look up. Look up. What do you see? A walking stick. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 to 15.
The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever."
If you remember the story, Lot and Abraham had a disagreement. Too much of a herd. And they couldn't feed them all in the same patch of land. And so Abraham, being the kind of guy he was, said to Lot, "No, look, we can't keep fighting like this. We're relatives. This is not getting us anywhere. So I tell you what we're going to do, Lot. You pick what half you want, and I will take the remaining part." Sounds fair, right? So Lot stands and looks on all the land that Abraham had. And Lot says, "I'll take the valley with all the green grass and the water flowing through it. That's what I want," Lot said to Abraham. Abraham, a man of his word, said, "Okay, then the fertile valley will be yours." Unfortunately, what was left for Abraham was the desert. And Abraham looking at the desert. And he's saying to himself, "What did I just do? What did I do? I left myself with the desert. My cattle, my sheep, my livelihood is going to go away. What did I do?" And God says to Abraham, "The desert's not your future, guy. You're looking at that. You're saying that's your future. That's not your future. Quit looking at the desert. At the desert. Look to the north and look to the south and look to the east and look to the west. And everything you see, I will give to you. But in order for you to realize that, you got to get your eyes off the desert." Some of us are still living in the desert. Some of us are still in the desert. We have pouched, dry, cracked lips. We're burning up with heat. We're drenched with sweat. And we're looking at the desert. And we never think it's ever going to be better than this, because you are stuck in the desert. And God says, "Get your eyes up. Look to the east. Look to the west. Look to the north. Look to the south. And everything you see, I will give to you." That's your future. That's your future. You cannot begin to enjoy your future when you are living in the past. I wonder how many of us will go from this place today and say to ourselves, "You know what? I may be in the desert, but I'm getting my head up. And I'm looking what lies ahead. I'm not going to be stuck in my situation." Let me show you, church, in closing, if you think the world cares about you stuck in the desert, they don't. Because there's more green grass for them. You got to get your eyes on the one who really cares. And it's the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, church. They're probably never going to erect a statue in my honor. The reason I say that to you, when you go through Bellevue, the little borough of Bellevue, and you go to, you know, Bell Federal, right to the right of that is a lovely granite monument. It says Chief William Brackett on it. My uncle. And people often say to me, "Oh, they have a monument with your name on it." I go, "No, it's not me. Not me." And you know what? They're never going to put a statue in my honor in the town square. They're not going to write a book about me. Oh, maybe, you know, when it's my time to go home with the Lord, maybe our church will put a plaque on the wall. Like, "Hey, Reverend Tom Brocken, he was first. Pastor Emeritus." But you know what? None of that matters. Because you know what I want? I want well done. I want the well done. Thy good and thy faithful servant, well done. How many want that one? That's the one I want. That's the one I want. Yesterday, Bob was saying to me, "Oh, you're slowing down?" And I wasn't sure what the question was, because I had to think about that. Right? I'm looking at him and said, "Slowing down?" And he said, "Well, you're still doing that Bible study for Sons of God?" I said, "Well, yeah, I do it on Tuesdays." "Well, I know you're here Wednesday night. Are you still doing that service on Sunday night?" "Well, yeah, I'm still doing that service on Sunday night." "Are you still going, you know?" "Yeah, I'm still doing all those things." He said, "Well, I thought you were slowing down." So she said, "Well, he is slowing down. He just walks a lot slower." Praise be to God, right? There's too much to do today. Too much to do today. And I'm not going to be stuck in what happened to me, you know, 3 or 4 months ago. No, no, no. New day. A new day. Not stuck. New day. How many say praise the Lord for that?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing of this day. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. And we're not getting it back. We thank you for this one. Half the day is already gone. We can't get that one back. So, Lord God, help us to get our heads up. Help us to leave the past in the past and look forward to what lies ahead. That's where the blessings are. Lord, everybody in this room has got a past, that's for sure. But we got a future too. And we're going to have to remember which one we want to be in. Well, I know me, I'm looking forward to the future. And I sure pray that all my friends are too. And all of God's children said,